Have you ever wondered why certain stories are remembered and passed on in the scriptures? Remember, the Gospel of John reminds us that Jesus did and said many things that were not written down. So many so that if everything Jesus had done and said, the world itself could not contain all the books that would be written. So many stories, so many decisions to decide who made the cut. And one reason that stories were remembered is that they had contemporary relevance for first century Christians. Most scholars agree that the Gospels were put into their present form after the destruction of the temple in AD 70. That event sent shockwaves not only through the Jewish community, but also the Christian community. Many wondered what this cataclysmic event meant. How were they to understand it? Many thought that such an event, something like 9/11 on steroids, surely must signal what? The end of the world. The synoptic writers all record this event stressing one thing. No, the end of the temple is not the end of the world. It is the end of an era, the era of the second temple, but not the end of the world. The fall of the temple is just the beginning of the Christian mission. So stay focused and stay tuned. More is yet to come. In the end is the beginning. That's what Jesus seems to be saying. Consider the Last Supper. Yes, it was Jesus' final meal with his followers. But remember what he said. He was inaugurating the new covenant, which is sealed in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. In every ending, there's a new beginning. In the events leading up to the destruction of the temple, Jesus sees a parallel surrounding the events surrounding the end of the world. These cataclysmic events are not exactly the same, but they are reminiscent of each other. He says that the actual end of the world will be accompanied by these cataclysmic events. Signs in the heaven, the shaking of the powers of the heavens, the roaring of the seas and the tsunamis. Then, Jesus says, the nations will experience terrible distress and fear. All people will be overwhelmed by a foreboding of what is happening. This, Jesus says, is the true apocalypse, the final end of the story. Yet, in the midst of these seemingly doomsday scenarios, Jesus surprisingly calls for his disciples to have hope. Listen, he says that when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Think of that. Your redemption is drawing near. He points to the fig tree that's blooming and says, these buds herald the coming of summer, the promise that the kingdom of God is drawing near. There is more to come, and it's redemption and renewal. Now, all of these compelling events cause us to look in hope for the coming of the Son of Man. Think about what he's saying. The end of the world is the beginning of the world to come. A new world utterly transformed. These events promise the answered prayer, thy kingdom come. So instead of seeing the unsettling events of the end as terribly dreadful, Jesus invites his followers, think about this, to lift up their heads and lift up your hearts because your redemption is drawing near. Now that's what psychologists called reframing. Reframing. Jesus says to his followers, these cataclysmic events should be seen in an entirely different light. I remember a story from the French Revolution, when a crowd gathered to protest and the French soldiers brought in their cannons, the commanding officer ordered that the rabble be shot. And so a junior officer announced to the crowd, "We are under orders to shoot the rabble, but since I can only see the good citizens of Paris, I ask you to clear the crowd, the square, so we can shoot the rabble." Well, that cleared the square. And that's called reframing. Jesus is a master reframer. He takes the anxiety and dread we have of future events, including, I might add, our own death. He anticipates the fainting and the fear, the dread. And despite our fears, he encourages us to, quote, "take heed, lest your hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life." We're to pray that we receive strength to escape all these things so that we can stand before the Son of Man and welcome him in his glory. A shorthand way of saying, be of good cheer, for Christ has overcome the world and all of its fears. That's Christian reframing. Fears within, foes without, and anxiety everywhere, for sure. But here's the good news. For us, the end is just the beginning. Advent is the beginning of our new liturgical year. And every Advent, have you noticed, begins with the end, the coming of the Son of Man in glory. And we conclude every Advent with the coming of the Son of Man in weakness at Bethlehem. So in Advent, we celebrate both the humility and the glory of Christ our Lord, the beginning and the end. And we celebrate with this deep and profound truth. In every ending we go through, there is a new beginning. It's true for Advent, and it's true for each of our lives. Whether a lost relationship, or a lost job, or lost health, or a lost loved one, or lost wealth, or even lost faith. In the case of your congregation, at the end of a long and fruitful pastoral relationship, we're in a new beginning. Whatever fears and anxieties haunt us, there is a path forward. Why? Because Christ is on the other end of the darkness. Because God can create something out of nothing. Your life can begin again. Out of the rubble, something new is promised. So, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Reframe your situation and see that in the turbulence and in the fear, God is with you. That is the promise of Advent. In every ending, there's a new beginning. Thanks be to God who loves us and gave himself for us. Amen.